the line? Okay. Ms. Siebel.
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
Great, thanks. Mr. Topp?
Yes, I'm
here. Great. Richard Thayer?
Speaking.
Great, thanks, Mr. Thayer. Meredith Moore?
Present, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Ms. Moore. Talbot Wazurek?
I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
Great, thanks, Mr. Wazurek. Have we missed anybody on the telephone line? Okay, great. With that, we will go ahead and begin our meeting this morning. This is the regular meeting of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. It is Tuesday, June 5th, 2007, at approximately 9:30 in the morning. We're here in the State Capitol, Room 412. I'm Commissioner Dusty Johnson. Joining me here in Pierre are Commissioners Gary Hansen and Steve Kolbeck. With that, we will go to Ms. Weister, are you on the line? Okay, we'll go ahead and proceed. Our first item on the agenda
is joining the meeting. Good.
Welcome, Ms. Weist.
Thank you.
We're just about ready to get started. In fact, we will go ahead and get started. Agenda item number one, our consumer reports, and we'll look to Ms. Gregg for an update on the consumer issues.
Thank you, Chairman Johnson. The Commission has received a total of 73 contacts since the last report was prepared for the May 22nd, 2007 Commission meeting. 9 of the contacts involved telecommunication services, 19 contacts involved electrical services, 7 contacts involved natural gas services, 7 contacts involved cellular phone service, and 21 contacts related to the Do Not Call Registry, and 10 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 978 of the 1,119 complaints received in 2007 have been resolved, and 2,256 of the 2,466 complaints received in 2006 have been resolved.
Thanks very much, Ms. Gregg. Are there any questions or comments from commissioners or advisors for Ms. Gregg? Seeing none, thanks very much. Agenda item number two is under the hydrocarbon pipeline, and it is HP07-001, and it's in the matter of the application for the Keystone Pipeline Project. And the question before the commission is today, shall it extend the intervention deadline? At this time, we will look towards staff to explain the request.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Kara Van Bakkern for staff. Our final public hearing for this docket will be held on June 27th. The intervention deadline is June 26th. Although I believe the commission certainly has given adequate opportunity, adequate notice to all of the landowners and possible interested parties, I've received some phone calls from some landowners who are concerned. They don't necessarily know if they need to intervene, if they really want to be a party. They'd like to wait and attend the public hearings and better understand the project before they make that decision. And I'm afraid with the overlapping time frames that it's confusing for landowners and want to be sure we give everyone adequate opportunity to intervene. So respectfully requesting that the intervention deadline be extended to July 10.
July 10, you said, Ms. Van Bakkern, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Is TransCanada, do they have counsel on the line or here in Pierre?
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Dave Gertis. I'm a lawyer from Pierre, and you could thank Brett Kenneke when you're looking at me. Mr. Kenneke is taking his family on a long postponed and deserved vacation, so I'm filling in for my law partner. TransCanada has no objection to the request. Mr. Kenneke and Ms. Van Bakkern have talked about it. So.
Thanks very much. Any other interested parties wish to make comment at this time? Hearing none, are there any commissioner or advisor comments or questions for anyone? Yeah, Commissioner Kolbeck.
Yes, Ms. Van Bakkern, is this something that just kind of came about after the last meeting when we set our timelines and it just kind of ended up that way, or is this something that we could have avoided? Or?
Mr. Commissioner, it didn't. My attention wasn't drawn to this as any sort of problem until I began receiving phone calls from landowners and those that received our notice. They were confused by the overlapping time frames, didn't understand them, and as I said, aren't sure if they really need to or want to be a party to this action, but want to attend the public hearing first to fully understand the scope of the project. So with more experience, it's probably something I could have foreseen, but I wasn't able to with my lack of experience, I guess. And so I was just made aware of it with the phone calls I've received lately.
Okay. And our last meeting is the 27th, I believe, so that would give them, is this a full 2 weeks then?
It'll be a full 2 weeks from the intervention date of June 26th.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? I would just note that it seems like staff in your comments are very focused on, real people and how they view the regulatory process. And I think that's good because although we deal with it every day, most people don't. And so I would certainly compliment staff on understanding that real people are not experts in our process. So thanks for suggesting a change here. Any other comments or questions? With that, I think a motion is probably in order. I would go ahead and move the commission extend the intervention deadline to July 10th, as recommended by, as requested by staff. The motion has been made. Second is not required. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Kolbeck?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thanks very much. With that, we will proceed to the telecommunications portion of our regular agenda. Item number one is TC06-007, and it's in the matter of the petition of Level 3 Communications for arbitration of an interconnection agreement with Quest. The question before the commission today is, shall how the commission proceed regarding Level 3's notice of adoption of Quest's SCAT? And at this point, we will turn toward the Level 3 and their counsel.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Richard Thayer. Level 3's position is actually very simple. Quest had filed an SCAT a number of years ago to gain commission approval, which also formed the basis of their 271 approval. That SCAT under the law is an agreement that all competitors have the right to opt into in order to afford them a relatively inexpensive way to enter the South Dakota market and compete with Quest. That, in a nutshell, is all the Level 3 is seeking. Now, while Quest maintains that that SCAT is not up to date, we're fine with the idea that they bring it up to date. They go through the process to get commission approval for whatever amendments or changes they need. And at the end of that process, Level 3 can opt into it, as would any other competitor in South Dakota. The difficulty is, without an SCAT available to all competitors in South Dakota, what inevitably will happen transactions to enter the market, to negotiate with Quest, to do all those things that one must do to get that final agreement if an SCAT isn't available, can become and will become a significant barrier to entry. So we would ask the Commission to order Quest to bring its SCAT up to date, to follow a public process to let all of the competitive industry comment and be involved such that the end product of the SCAT that is approved by the Commission is a document that, while everybody obviously will not be completely happy with, is as close to what all parties can agree is both compliant with what the law requires and suitable for the development of the marketplace.
Thanks very much, Mr. Thayer. And I should just note that Level 3's local counsel, Mr. Gerdes, is here at the microphone for those people on the telephone line. So at this point, we would look toward Quest. Ms. Siebold, Mr. Topp, any comments?
Yes, certainly. This is Jason Topp. And I'm getting an echo on my end. Are you hearing me okay?
Yeah, I think we're hearing you fine. Maybe there's a very minor reverberation, but it's not distracting to me, at least.
Okay, I'll try and work my way through it.
Yeah. The echoes are always in my mind, Mr. Topp. So.
Well, maybe it is here as well. We view Level 3's request as seeking extraordinary relief. Just to go back on the history here, on January 25th of 2006, Level 3 petitioned for arbitration in the 16 months. Since that time, there have been significant negotiations and arbitration proceedings have taken place in several states. And decisions reached. There has been, and not only litigation associated with arbitrations, but also certain complaint cases under old interconnection agreements. appear in this proceeding on May 7th of 2007. Level 3 withdrew its arbitration petition, indicating that they wanted to opt into the SGAT. And they did that not only in South Dakota, but also in several other states simultaneously. The notice was somewhat confusing because while it said that they wanted to opt into the SGAT, they included a notice of opt-in that listed the specific documents that Level 3 sought to adopt, and they weren't, in fact, SGAT documents. They were, in fact, negotiation template documents that Quest makes available to CLECs throughout South Dakota. And based on that, we didn't oppose them withdrawing the arbitration. We did file with the commission an indicator that, you know, we took their notice on its face as that those are the documents they were seeking to opt into, and we would certainly agree that they go ahead and do that. So the withdrawal of the arbitration was approved, and then once that occurred, Level 3 made a filing at the end of last week, which changed its position in a couple of respects. First of all, it made clear that it did not want, in fact, the documents that we have made available to other CLECs, but wanted to opt into an SGAP. They did not want, and we have pointed out in the past and would certainly object to that request because of how far out of date our South Dakota SGAT is. So what they have, I guess in recognition of that, is their suggestion is that Quest should file a new SGAT. We should have litigation over the SGAT terms. We should determine what the new SGAT should be, and then Level 3, I guess, wants to opt into that new SGAT and operate under its existing agreement while all of those proceedings take place. If Quest would have understood Level 3's proposal, we would have opposed their request to withdraw their arbitration proceeding. We see their request as raising a whole host of issues. The first is Quest does not believe that it's legally required to maintain an SGAT, and I could go into a long discussion of the legal justification for that, but it's primarily based on, the requirements for meeting 271 and the existence of interconnection agreements that are out there. Quest has opposed Level 3 attempts to dismiss arbitrations in other states where sought to opt into an SGAT. And, fundamentally, from a policy perspective, we think that SGAT proceedings really create more rather than less litigation. Since May of 2005, so, essentially the last 2 years, we've had 13 new agreements in South Dakota, 6 have replaced older agreements, and had 7 interconnection agreements for new CLECs, the 6 replacement agreements, 2 used the template, and 1 was arbitrated, and 3 were negotiated. And there's a similar type of split with respect to new agreements. We have not had CLECs that have approached us until now and requested an SGAT that have not executed an interconnection agreement. Either using an existing agreement or using the template. And so we don't think that it has the effect on competition that Level 3 has suggested. We think there are a number of issues raised by Level 3's suggestion. We would suggest that, I'm in the process of preparing a petition to withdraw Quest SGAT in South Dakota and would suggest that the best way to proceed would be to have that petition filed, and then Level 3 can raise their arguments, and a decision can be made as a part of that proceeding. Otherwise, if there's thought of continuing onward with sort of along the lines that Level 3 has suggested, Quest would certainly like the ability to file responsive comments. In Level 3's comments that were filed at the end of last week, I had sort of marked in yellow statements in there that we thought were inaccurate or misleading or, that we just simply disagreed with. And it's pretty much a yellow document at this point. So there is a lot in dispute, and we would certainly want the ability to file additional comments.
Thanks very much, Mr. Topp. Ms. Wiest, I know you're serving as commission counsel for this particular item. I don't see any staff analysts or attorneys assigned to this. Do you know of any?
Ms. Van Bakker.
Okay, yeah, Ms. Van Bakker, does staff have any comments with regard to this this request?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Staff would recommend that Quest be given the opportunity to respond, state their position, and commission act accordingly and schedule commission meetings as needed from there.
Okay, any commissioner or advisor questions or comments for any of the parties? I might. Yes, Mr. Gerdes.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, since I'm the one that wrote the document that Mr. Topp is talking about, where he says that by our filing of May 7th that we somehow adopted parts of interconnection agreements that are listed in paragraph 6 of that document, I suggest that Mr. Topp is not reading the document. In paragraph 6, we say Level 3 calls upon Quest to identify the docket numbers and commission approval dates of all operative components of the SCAT. And then we go on to say the only thing we can find, that is, this commission approved amendments B and K of the SCAT in docket TC04257. And then we go on to list all the other components that are being used by Quest but have apparently not been adopted as part of the SCAT. And our question is, where is the SCAT? Please tell us where it is. And at the end, we say Level 3 will file a copy of the Quest SCAT with the Executive Secretary when its effective components have been identified. So this document certainly does not adopt those things on Level 3's part. It's a question, and it's a great big question. You know, where are the other components of the SCAT? And so I think it's Level 3's position that Quest should identify the components of the SCAT, and we'll go on from there. And that's really what our position is, I think. And I'll let Mr. Thayer follow up if I've misrepresented something, but I think that's the track we're on.
Thanks very much, Mr. Gerdes. You know, I think it might be helpful, and maybe, well, I'll make this a question that anybody can respond to, but I think it might be helpful to move back a little bit and provide almost, 251, 252, 101. I mean, I know 252 says that an RBOC may file an SCAT. I mean, are there other parts of the Telecom Act that I'm not reading that says that Quest has to maintain an up-to-date SCAT? What does the Telecom Act say with regard to if an SCAT is filed and is out of date? Are telecommunication companies allowed to opt into that? If somebody could provide me a little bit of the legal landscape, I think that might be helpful.
Yeah, this is Jason Todd from Quest.
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, we don't believe that there is a requirement under 251 to have an SCAT in place. There is Track A and Track B for obtaining 271 relief. The FCC found that Quest qualified under Track A, which is, and Track A uses existing agreements as the basis for demonstrating compliance. Track B uses a statement of generally accepted terms to demonstrate that we are able to make interconnection agreements available. When they approved Quest's application in South Dakota, The FCC indicated that we had complied with track A requirements, and so therefore we don't believe that an SGAT is required or was required at that time. And even if it, for some reason it was at that time, we think that the passage of time, you know, we have a number of additional interconnection agreements in South Dakota that set forth the terms and conditions of all of the obligations that would be required to demonstrate track A requirements. So we don't think that there is any requirement that we maintain an SGAT in South Dakota. Now, the second question would be, you know, is with an out-of-date SGAT out there, is there a requirement that Quest allow others to allow CLEX to opt into it, even if that SGAT is in fact out of date? It's our position that we do not have that obligation. First of all, the SGAT is inconsistent with current law. Just some specific examples associated with that are the Triano review order, and those terms have not been included in the SGAT. The TRRO order has not been included in the SGAT, and there are other examples beyond that. So our view of the opt-in rules is, you know, you're allowed to opt in for a reasonable period of time, and we would say in light of those legal changes, it certainly is beyond a reasonable period of time for a CLEC to opt into the SGAT, and therefore we do not think that they have the right to do so. That's our view of the basic requirements under the Act.
Mr. Gerdes, Mr. Thayer, any comments on those questions?
Why don't I start, and then I can let Mr. Gerdes add whatever he would like. I guess I'd point out a few things. The SGAT, in its terms, has a change of law provision that Quest, for whatever internal reasons, has decided it did not want to follow and have the law change as it did change to update the SGAT law with the Commission. Secondly, the Commission did rely upon the SGAT in its recommendation to the FCC as to the host of items that it was looking at as to whether or not Quest met the 2781 checklist. And I would maintain that the reliance upon the SGAT within that host of items makes it an ongoing obligation on Quest's part to keep that in effect until such time as the Commission allows them to withdraw it or to otherwise have it deemed ineffective. Mr. Topp also referred to that somehow the opt-in provision has this within a reasonable time element you can't afterwards opt into. Nowhere does that appear in the law. Matter of fact, the opt-in rules by the FCC are very clear as to sort of a cutoff date when a party can opt into an agreement, and that is not the case with the SGAT, at least as we understand it, that is somewhat in force in South Dakota at the moment. And then finally, I believe that there are significant independent policy grounds that the South Dakota Commission would look at for the reason that an SGAT needed to be maintained and kept up to date and enforced in South Dakota for the benefit of other parties. To say that other CLECs have entered into interconnection agreements and that there's only been one arbitration and that they've been able to negotiate CLEC agreements successfully in South Dakota is really begging the question. Having been on that side of having to negotiate and then at least at some point looking at the arbitration process, the cost, time, and expense and resources of that, if you are not extremely well resourced and capitalized, can really thwart any entry plan. So while some CLECs may clearly have had the wherewithal to do that in South Dakota and did, I guess I would posit there may be a whole host of others that did not, facing the rather daunting task of negotiating with Quest, if that fails, to go into arbitration, at the end of the day deciding that just wasn't a worthwhile use of their assets, as opposed to having a standardized agreement that they could have easily adopted into and then gone on with putting their money where they felt they would get actual real value.
Thanks.
Just to follow up, Mr. Chairman, I would just point out that the statute says that an RBOC may utilize the SCAT route. It doesn't say it shall, but it's our position that once they do, which Quest did, and have never withdrawn it or anything else, they have an obligation to continue that process for the benefit of those that want to opt in, because it furnishes, and the justification for an SCAT furnishes an economical way for carriers that don't want to go through the process of either negotiation or arbitration or can't afford it to get into business. And so for Quest to thwart those operators by saying now that, well, our SCAT is out of date and so, you know, go eat cake, that flies in the face of the purpose of the very initial purpose of the SCAT. And they've never filed to withdraw it. And so we submit that based on the policy grounds that Mr. Thayer has mentioned and on the just simple facts as they exist, that there has to be an SCAT until there isn't an SCAT, and there hasn't come a time when there isn't an SCAT. As an aside, Mr. Chairman, I'll tell you that for a couple of or for several weeks prior to this May filing, I tried as much as I could to find an SCAT, and I think I bothered several members of the staff trying to find an SCAT, and I bothered Ms. Seabold trying to find an SCAT, and I couldn't find an SCAT because an updated one had not been approved. But there is an old one back there that was approved, and there is, as I mentioned in the pleading, there is one that parts of one that was approved as recently as, I think I said, 2004. So certainly Quest had an idea that they were going to have an SCAT until sometime, and they didn't tell anybody when they decided not to. And it's not fair to carriers that are trying to get into the market to just have limbo here and now. And that's part of the quandary that we found ourselves in when we were trying to opt into the SCAT.
This is a question that's probably everybody would prefer to answer in some sort of a briefing format, but, you know, I wonder, we're throwing around a lot of phrases like, you know, out of date and opt in within a reasonable time frame. I would just ask the parties or staff, have other states litigated these issues? Could that be instructive to this commission?
This is Jason Todd from Quest. We have litigated in Minnesota the question of how long someone has the right to opt into an existing interconnection agreement. It was not litigation over an SCAT specifically. I would certainly want to respond to briefs regarding how, you know, analogous or non-analogous that particular precedent is. But we did litigate it in that context, and argued about what the meaning of reasonable time frame in fact meant.
I had some questions at some point, Chairman.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go right to you, Ms. Weiss. Are there any other commissioner questions? Yeah, Ms. Weiss, please go ahead. Shed some light on the topic.
Well, I'm not sure if I can, but I would like to see is, or first I would just ask Quest is, do they have any legal authority for some of your statements that you've made that FGAT is only good for a reasonable amount of time and then it's no good at all?
We have, I don't have sitting right here chapter and verse regarding the opt-in requirements with respect to FGAT. I certainly can give you the authority regarding the obligation to maintain an SCAT and where that comes from.
But have you withdrawn your SCAT in other states, and has that been allowed?
We have not. I've got the filing prepared to sign in North Dakota, and we're expecting to file that in a number, if not all, our states very quickly.
So you have not filed any petitions to withdraw yet?
That's correct.
At this point, what I would suggest is I would like to hear additional legal authority from Quest in particular, and then I'd give Level 3 a chance to respond. But at this point, it appears that there is an ESCAT out there, and I would like to know what is the authority for saying that an ESCAT, even if it hasn't actually been updated recently, whether that just ceases to exist because, you know, Quest finds that it's now out of date. And the fact that they're filing petitions to withdraw, you know, may mean that the fact that you're filing it is that there is an ESCAT that is out there that is effective because it hasn't been withdrawn. And so I would like Quest to respond to that issue, plus the issue about whether there is an obligation to have an ESCAT, especially in light of the 271 filing at the FTC. And then I would allow Level 3 a chance to respond to that.
Ms. Weiss, Commissioner Johnson here. You know, a lot of the provisions of the Telecom Act, you know, want to expedite entry into a market. Are you aware of any? I mean, are we facing any timelines here that you're aware of?
Well, the arbitration has been withdrawn, and really that has been languishing for, I can't remember, over a year, I believe, because I've been trying to get procedural schedule set on that, and then they finally withdrew it. So I don't care if we do an expedited type of proceeding as far as response or not. I think I would just ask the parties how much time they would like.
Sure. I guess first I would, you know, look to Level 3. Is this something where a more typical briefing schedule would be acceptable as opposed to anything expedited?
Yeah, I mean, I clearly it depends upon the degree to which the filing the Quest makes we will need to respond to. So I think a typical briefing schedule would be better for all parties to make sure that we're thorough and comprehensive.
Quest agrees?
Yeah, we have no objection.
Okay, great. Well, I mean, I think our typical, you know, mode of operation is to have, you know, Ms. Wiest and, you know, staff working on this, just work with the parties to come up with a procedural schedule. Is that what your recommendation is, Ms. Wiest?
Yeah, that would be fine.
Okay, great. Any other commissioner or advisor comments or questions? Yeah, Commissioner Kolbeck.
Yeah, I'd just like to comment. The obligation to maintain was brought up, I believe, by Mr. Taub. Is that something that we can get answered to? Ms. Wiest, I'd like to have an answer to that. What is the obligation? Have they been coming in every year, or is it a triannual review? Or I'd like to come out of this, I guess, a definite schedule on this ESCAT when it should be maintained.
Yes, I think the party should respond to that also. That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll just, you know, staff, Ms. Van Bakkeren had made a recommendation I think sounded a bit like Ms. Weiss, but before moving forward, I wanted to double check to see that staff was in agreement.
Staff does agree. No objection.
Great. If there's no further discussion, does anyone have a motion? I would move that the parties work together with staff and Commission Council to develop a procedural schedule to further brief the issues discussed today. Motion has been made. A second isn't required. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Kolbeck?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thanks very much to everyone. With that, we will move to TC07-018, and that deals with First Choice Technology and the request for a COA to provide interexchange services in South Dakota. Question before the commission today is, shall it grant a COA to First Choice Technology? Typically, we look to staff first, so we'll look to Mr. Solem, Mr. Best, or Ms. Kramer.
Mr. Chairman, this is Nathan Solem of staff. The applicant intends to provide OnePlus dialing, inbound, toll-free calling, directory assistance, and postpaid calling card services. First Choice has agreed to restrictions from offering any prepaid services and from collecting customer deposits or advance payments. The applicant has met the requirements for the granting of a certificate of authority. Therefore, staff recommends the commission issue First Choice Technology Incorporated an inter-exchange certificate of authority, subject to restrictions from offering any prepaid services and from collecting customer deposits or advance payments without prior approval of the commission. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Solem. Doesn't look like anybody from First Choice Technology is online or here in Pierre, is that right?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. Any questions or comments for staff? Hearing none, motion is probably in order.
Motion in the case of TC07018 that the commission grant the certificate of authority to First Choice Technology per staff's suggestions.
Motion has been made. Second isn't required. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck?
Aye.
Hanson?
Aye.
Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thanks very much. We'll proceed next to agenda item number 3 under telecom, and those deal with certification regarding the use of universal service funds, and those are in dockets TC07-023, 024, 025, and 028. And the question for the commission is simply, shall the commission provide certification to the FCC and the USAC regarding the plan for the use of the universal service funds as proposed. With that, we'll move first to TC07-023, and that deals with Interstate Telecommunications Cooperative. At this time, it appears though Ms. Moore is representing ITC. Ms. Moore?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Meredith Moore appearing on behalf of ITC. Ryan Taylor in my office previously submitted the appropriate documentation for the approval of this matter, and or staff would have any questions, we would certainly be happy to answer those. Otherwise, we believe the documentation speaks for itself, and we would request approval.
Thanks, Ms. Moore. At this time, we would look toward staff. Mr. Best, Ms. Kramer, their comments.
This is Harlan Best of staff. Staff has reviewed the filing submitted by ITC, had one or a couple of questions for clarification for ITC. Those were responded to, and they were made part of the record. They are filed as confidential documents. Staff would recommend that the commission submit a letter to the FCC and to USAC granting the requested certification.
Thanks very much, Mr. Best. Any comments or questions for staff or the party? You know, I might just note, and I won't mention the communities because I know Exhibit B was filed confidential, but I do think it's worth noting again that we've got a number of small communities across South Dakota that are getting, improved infrastructure as a result of these funds and as a result of the work of the rural telcos. And we talk about a digital divide, and it certainly seems as though with a number of these filings today, we do see that good quality infrastructure is being pushed out into the rural areas. So. Probably worth noting. Are there any other questions or comments for the parties by commissioners or advisors? Yeah, Commissioner Colbeck.
I just wanted to make sure there was some delays and rescheduling and stuff like that. They all had good answers to that. Those are not canceled. I guess I'm referring to, I don't want to say. I guess I'm just interested in, Harlan, that nothing has been canceled. Everything has just been rescheduled, correct?
Right. They did in Exhibit B state that some of the projects were delayed out, mm-hmm. or they may have, not this specific company, but some of them have reconsidered how they're going to provide the products to the outlying areas. They've changed their method of how they will provide the broadband or the upgraded voice communications.
So it's just a reshuffling, not necessarily a dropping.
Right.
Okay.
Any further questions or comments? Commissioner Hanson.
Thank you. Perhaps Harlan. Excuse me. Mr. Best can help me out with this as well. I just want to be assured that to the best of our knowledge, that the entities are using the Federal Universal Service Funds for the purposes that they were granted to them and in a timely fashion. When looking at the delays and the rescheduling in some of the areas,
Well, even beyond that, they've also stated within the affidavit, which is Exhibit C, that they are using the funds in the appropriate manner and for the products that they should be using them for.
To what extent do we check this for ourselves other than their affidavits? Do we do any auditing or anything of that nature?
No.
Is there any auditing that takes place at any time?
The FCC has auditors that go out and review, as well as USAC.
And do they... So it's really incumbent upon them to do that process. It's not a function of our office and
right. All the state commission is required to do is for personal reason here, personal aside here, that it's a self-certification by the companies, but yet the FCC has required that the state commissions certify the self-certification that the companies have made.
Okay.
So it really becomes cumbersome on the state staff, especially when we don't have a state universal service fund.
Exactly.
And I think that may be where the FCC was coming from, was that the state commissions, where they have a state fund, go out and probably do more auditing or investigating into how the state fund is used. And then they would piggyback on with the federal funds. Where here, since we don't have a state fund, and I might say the staff time to go out and audit all of these 60-some companies that file, I mean, it'd be a little bit more overtime probably.
A smidgen, no doubt, and cumbersome as well. My concern was that we were also fulfilling our obligation, and obviously we are. We'll save the editorializing for another time. But thank you very much, Mr. Best. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, Commissioner Hansen, I think you bring up a great issue. And every time I review these dockets, I think the same thing, you know, to what extent is due diligence required and are we doing it? It always makes me feel a little bit better with most of these companies that the difference between the receipts coming in for the Universal Service Fund and the amounts that are generally supported is such a big gap that but that certainly doesn't mean that – yeah, go ahead, Commissioner Hansen.
Well, what makes me feel so good is that we have such competent and knowledgeable staff that take care of these things for us.
Your point's better than mine, no doubt. So.
And staff thanks you.
Yeah. Any other commissioner pandering to staff? If not, then any other comments or questions? Hearing none, motions in order. I would move that the commission certify regarding the use of the USF funds. The motion has been made. Second is required. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thanks. We'll proceed next to TC07-024, and that deals with Stockholm-Strandberg Telephone Company doing business as ITC regarding its certification. And at this point, we'll see if anybody representing Stockholm-Strandberg is on the telephone line. Ms. Moore, is that you again?
No, it's not. In this instance, Mr. Commissioner, if there's anything that I could do at this point in time to answer questions, as ITC is typically our client, I'd be happy to do so. Otherwise, I think the documentation again speaks for itself.
Okay, thanks very much. This time we would look toward Mr. Best and Ms. Kramer for any comments from staff.
This is Harlan Best of staff. The company did file its certification request. They have responded to questions that staff presented to them. They were, again, filed as confidential documents. The request, the documents, or the questions here were a little more specific than what I had for ITC. But the company did respond in answering those questions, and staff would recommend that the commission issue a letter to the FCC and to USAC granting the certification request.
Any questions for staff or the party? probably worth noting that Stockholm-Strandberg had one, in their filing says they had one complaint in 2006. I only wish I had that kind of track record with regard to complaints. Any other commissioner comments or advisor comments or questions? Hearing none, does anyone have a motion?
A motion in TC07-024 that the commission provide the universal service fund.
Provide the certification. Okay.
Certification, sorry.
Great. Motion's been made. The second isn't required. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen? And John. Oh, sorry.
Aye.
And Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thanks very much. With that, we'll move to TC07-025. That's in the matter of SS Telecom, which does business as ITC, again, for certification regarding its use of USF. Mr. Best or Ms. Kramer?
Ms. Harlan Best, staff. The only item that was lacking in this filing was the company did not state if they were offering a comparable local usage plan to the incumbent, and they have responded in the affirmative to that. With that addition to the filing, staff would recommend that the commission grant a letter of or issue a letter of certification to the FCC and to USAC.
Thanks very much, Mr. Best. Any comments or questions by commissioners or advisors? Hearing none, does anyone have a motion?
I'll motion in TC07-025 that the letter of certification for universal service support be issued.
Motion's been made. Second isn't required. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
And Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thanks. And finally, on these certification dockets for today, we do have TC07-028, and that's in the matter of the request by Kennebec Telephone Company for certification. And at this point, we'll see if anybody from Kennebec Telephone Company wants to make any comments with regard to the filing. We are lucky enough to have the head of Kennebec Telephone Company, Rod Bauer. Welcome, Mr. Bauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we filed all the appropriate paperwork. I think it speaks for itself. But I'd be happy to answer any questions, although I did forget my file with everything in it. It was laying right on my desk. So.
Even though we're paperless, supposedly, I suspect we could get you a hard copy to review from if we had questions. So.
Yes.
I think that opens Rod up for a lot of questions here.
Yes, it does. Probably does. Yeah.
Thanks very much, Mr. Bauer. We'll look to staff to see if they have any comments on the filing.
This is Harlan Best of staff. Staff would recommend that the commission issue a letter to the FCC and to USAC for the certification.
Thanks. Any comments or questions by commissioners or advisors? Probably just worth noting in your filing, you know, companies are asked to talk about, you know, outages that they have, and I think Kennebec talked about an outage they had and then described the fix that they had, and I think this is just another good example. Seems like, you know, outages have been very much in citizens and media's in the forefront of their minds, and I just think it was a good description by Kennebec of the things that they did, putting alarm systems into places to make sure something like this didn't happen again, so sort of a constant improvement. Thanks for that information in the docket.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I move that in docket TC07-028 that the commission issue the letter of certification to the FCC and the USAC.
Motion has been made. No second is required. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
And Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thanks very much, Mr. Bauer.
Thank you, Commissioner.
With that, we'll proceed to the final item on our regular agenda, TC07-027, and that's in the matter of the filing by South Dakota Network, LLC, for approval of revisions to its access service tariff. And the question for the commission is, today, shall the commission grant intervention to any parties that may have filed? And if none, shall the commission approve the tariff revisions? I believe that there was a letter in the docket asking to postpone this. Ms. Kramer, is that accurate?
Yes, that would be... Correct, Mr. Chairman. This is Karen Kramer from staff, and I had talked to Darla, and she would like this matter deferred.
Request for deferral has been made. Any questions on that request? Hearing none, I would move that the commission allow the deferral. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Johnson, motion carries. Thanks very much.
With that, we will
move toward the addendum to our agenda. That has a couple of items, the first of which, under consumer complaints, is CE07-002, and that deals with Erica Voss and her complaint against Northwestern Energy. And the question for the commission is, shall it dismiss the complaint and close the docket? Since I don't see Ms. Voss on the line or here in person, we'll look to Ms. Gregg or Ms. Van Bakkeren for their comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I spoke with Ms. Voss, and she was happy to have resolved this problem and ask for it to be dismissed, so staff would recommend the same.
I do see Mr. Gurdes come to the table. Mr. Gurdes, any comments with regard to the request?
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, I'm Dave Gurdes, and I represent Northwestern Corporation in this matter. And as in the other docket, you could say that I'm appearing for Mr. Kennecke again, and we agree with the dismissal.
Any questions or comments for anyone? Commissioner Colbeck.
Is there any more of our authority, Ms. Van Bakkeren, that can help Erica Voss should she need it, or is everything pretty much taken care of?
She is very happy in a residence now where she has received electric service. She and her cats both are happy to have the lights on. And in the event she should ever be denied service again, she knows where to find us. I enjoyed working with her, and I hope all consumers will find, and I know they do when they call Deb's office, Ms. Gregg's office, will find that we're very user-friendly. So, and I hope we proved that with Ms. Voss.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, does anyone have a motion?
A motion in CE07-002 that the commission dismiss the complaint and close the docket.
Motion's been made. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
And Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0. We'll proceed to the final item on our agenda for today. It is under telecommunications. It is TC06-017, and that deals with the petition of Sprint Communications Company for arbitration pursuant to the Telecom Act of 96 to resolve issues relating to an interconnection agreement with ITC. And the question for the commission is today, shall it grant the joint motion for delay? We will look at this time to either ITC or Sprint, see if they have any comments on their joint motion. Ms. Moore, Mr. Wazorik?
Mr. Commissioner, this is Meredith Moore appearing on behalf of ITC. I have had discussions with Sprint about this particular motion. There are some underlying negotiations that are currently ongoing between ITC and Sprint that look towards a business resolution to the petition for arbitration that was previously filed. We essentially need additional time to complete those negotiations and therefore think that the joint motion for delay in this case is appropriate. We realize that we have been before the commission twice before now seeking a delay in this matter, and accordingly we have requested a 180-day delay essentially, or have agreed to extend the arbitration window, I should say, by 180 days so as not to appear before the commission again within the next month on this particular matter. However, we do believe that the extension is appropriate, and we certainly hope that we will be able to resolve this matter without seeking commission intervention. However, if we do believe that there would be a hearing necessary in the future or that we would actually need to proceed with the arbitration proceedings, we would get in touch with staff and would do so in such a way as to ensure that we could arbitrate this matter in a timely manner and have all of the commission schedules accommodated as well.
Thanks very much, Ms. Moore. Anyone for Sprint care to make any comments?
This is Talbot Wazorik for Sprint. I would just endorse the comments made by Ms. Moore that there is a business solution being sought behind the scenes, and hopefully it will be resolved and completed well before
Thanks very much, Mr. Wieczorek. At this point, we'll turn to staff, Mr. Best, Ms. Van Bakkern, see if they have any comments.
This is Kara Van Bakkern for staff. Staff agrees that a business resolution is the best resolution and would request that the motion be granted.
Thanks very much. Any questions or comments for any of the parties by commissioners or advisors? Hearing none, I would move that the commission grant the joint motion for extension. The motion has been made. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck?
Aye.
Hanson?
Aye.
And Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0. There are a number of announcements at the end of our regular agenda, and unless anybody's got any more business to come before the commission, we will stand adjourned. Thanks.